Hey guys, we are Emma and Jessica, and welcome to our podcast, The Emmy Star Files, an X-Files podcast. In this episode, we're going to go over Dwayne Barry. We'll go through it scene by scene and discuss while interjecting with our own thoughts. Hope you enjoy.
So this one was written and directed by Chris Carter. So get ready for some bullshit dialogue. So we open up with the super saying Pulaski, Virginia, June 3rd, 1985. We see a dog, a collie, eating some dog food out of its bowl that apparently it still has left. Don't know why it's not eating its dinner, but here we are. And we hear a TV blaring in the background. So then the dog goes through to a bedroom where we see Dwayne Barry asleep in his bed. So then, like, the TV's going on, it's a little racket, and then all of a sudden, the TV is, what's it called again? Like, it goes staticky. That's not a word, is it? Like, you get static on the TV.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I can't remember.
So the dog growls and, like, looks scared, and as soon as the dog's scared, I'm fucking out. Like, I'm big it.
The dog knows something.
See last night, because of the wind, and it kept, like, obviously knocking stuff outside and stuff like that, making noises. The dogs kept, like, growling or barking, and I was like, stop it. And I was home alone, and I was like, you're making me think that someone's breaking into the house, and I fucking stop growling. Scaring me. So Dwayne Barry wakes up after the dog runs away, and he's like, oh no, it can't be. And then he starts, like, shaking, and he's not able to move as a bright light glows in his room, and it's, like, shining through, like, plastic sheets. Like, the house is obviously getting worked on to it, getting renovated or something. And then we see silhouettes of little aliens up against the sheets. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is the only episode of The X-Files that I went off. I was like, I'm not watching that at this time of night. So I was like, I don't want to have that nightmare. Only X-Files episode where, since the lakes, it's not that scary, that scared me. Not scared me, but I was like, nope, I'm not watching that tonight. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I was just like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So he then says, like, no, not again. And then he starts to scream, and the light grows, like, brighter as the little aliens surround his bed. And then outside, we see the dog barking as a UFO with a, what's it called? Like a retractor beam glowing down on the house. It's seen above, and the dog's just staring at it, barking. And I love how the dog's just like, aye, I'm going to take off. Like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
All the Peace best, out. But I ain't fucking dealing with that. So then we get the opening credits. And then we see the Super Davis Correctional Treatment Center, Marion, Virginia, present day. And we see some, what do they call it, porters or something, leaving Dwayne Barry to a doctor's office, and he brings him in, and he's got an appointment with Dr. Hackey, and obviously they know each other quite a bit. They're a bit friendly, so they say hi to each other, and Dwayne Barry's got, like, his hands restrained, hasn't he? So obviously a bit of a crazy, I don't think that word's PC these days, but we're just gonna go. So Hackey tells Dwayne to sit down and tells him that he wants to go over a few things, and Dwayne Barry seems very compliant. Doesn't seem like a bad guy. And Dr. Hackey asks him why he's not been taking his medication, and he says he doesn't like it the way it makes him feel. And Dr. Hackey's like, let's talk about that. And he's basically like, there's a reason we give you this medication, and it's because you're a psychopath, and we don't want you to hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. And Dwayne's like, I know. Sauce about that. So Dr. Hackey asks Dwayne if he's still hearing voices, and then Dwayne Barry says that he's not crazy, and then follows it up by saying Dwayne Barry's not like these other guys. And referring to yourself in the third person is never, like, a good cause for proving that you're not insane. So already he's not doing great. And Dr. Hackey's like, everybody's different here. He's quite PC for his time. Two people. I don't know why. It's not, like, tall, thin. I'm just like, oh, you look like you should be, like, at a haunted house or something. No offense to the guy.
But I was wondering, and I watched it again, I was like, where do I know his face from? He's in Snow Dogs. And I was like, that's where I know
he's
from. Snow
Dogs? I've not seen Snow Dogs in ages. Nah.
I was like, nah, I'm going to watch it again. Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, that's where I know him from, Snow Dogs.
Barry, who's not insane, let's just make this clear, starts to rock back and forth.
What's that selling it? For a boy.
Yeah, I know. He's telling Dr. Hackey, like, they're coming again, I can feel it. And Dr. Hackey's like, nobody's coming, Dwayne. And Dwayne says, like, no one can stop them. And then Dr. Hackey says, like, he's going to give him a shot. And when has this ever calmed someone down by saying, oh, I'm going to give you a shot? I mean, I don't really care about shots, but most people, I've seen the majority of the population, do not like getting a shot. So, a shot, a jab.
A jag.
Aye, but they don't call it jag in America. No. Do they even say jag in America? I don't think they do. I think it is just a shot, isn't it? How's that be a jag?
Jab is English.
Jab's English.
We call it a jag.
I thought jab was maybe American too, but yeah, I think they just call it a shot. We jag an arm. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Apparently when the nurse put, what's it called? I can never remember what it's called, but I remember when they said, like, came to tell me, where's your thing? Whatever it's called. I was like, they've not put in yet. And this was like, I was in such agony. Oh yeah, I was in hospital. Forgot to mention that in the little update we did.
Oh, that's another update.
No, it's no scratch because your mic wasn't working. She's like, oh, where is it? And I was like, oh, they've not put in yet. And then someone came, I don't know how long it was, but it seemed like forever. And someone came and was like, oh, where's your cannula? Is that a cannula? So that's what's
right, okay.
I was like, they've not put it in yet. Yeah. I was like, for fuck's sake. And then when the nurse finally did come to put it in, apparently, like, blood was pushing down my arm. Like, I remember feeling her wiping me, like, and I was just like, oh, stop annoying me. Because I'm getting so frustrated. And paid it. And my mum, like, when I was coming out of the hospital, she was like, that nurse was terrible. She's like, your arm is dripping with blood. Because they put your arm down, not your hand. No, you used to do it in the back of your hand.
Right,
now they do it, like, in the tip of your elbow. Yeah. Why did we go into that rant? Anyway, Dr. Hackey says that he thinks Dwayne just needs some rest as he, like, prepares the shot. And Barry looks at the pen on his desk and... Again, Dr. Hattie's gone on about, oh, this will make you sleep, blah, blah, blah. Drugging people is not the answer. And no. He turns around to see Barry walking out the door. And
he peeped out. You see you later.
Barry? Dwayne. And he runs after him, but, like, Dwayne... So, I'm trying to think of how this works. So, Dwayne, like, runs out of there. He's got his hands tied, but he still manages to, like, stab someone in the neck with his pen, doesn't he? And he grabs the gun.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing this is, like, a high facility. Yeah. It's basically, like, jail for some. Why would he be there, though, actually? Why has he got a gun? Because he's not... Like... Or has he hurt someone after... Has he went so crazy that he's hurt someone and then went into, like, a maximum security psychiatric facility? Or is he just there because he's insane from after abduction? Like, I don't understand the... Was he ever abducted? That's the question.
True. So, according to the plot on Wikipedia... So, in 1985, he's abducted. 9 years later, Barry has become a violent patient in a mental institution, refusing to take his medication, insisting that aliens are coming back for him.
Why would they have guns in
there? Guard and steals his gun.
Like, if he's not done a crime, like, if he's not in, like, the equivalent of a prison for people that have got, what do you even say now, like, psychiatric issues, then why are guys with guns? Like, I don't understand. But anyway, he steals his gun.
I don't know.
And he points out the doctor and tells him to get away. And Dr. Hackey tells him to put the gun down, and Dwayne Barry asks for the keys, and the man that's got the gun to his head is like, yeah, give him the fucking keys. And then an alarm starts to go off, and Dwayne Barry, like, panics and runs up to the doctor, and then we hear Dr. Hackey shouting, no, no, and Barry hits him on the head with the gun. And Dwayne tells him that either way, they're getting out of here together, and tells them to, and says, like, let's go now. So then we cut to Washington, D.C. It's August 7th, 1994, which is a whole 2 years after our timestamp in the pilot, but we like to all ignore that inconsistency.
Yeah.
So we see Krychek. He's at a, like, a massive swimming pool. It looks like an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Mulder doing laps in his iconic red Speedo.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is the perfect time for the Michael Scott, like, okay, it's happening. It's happening. Everybody's the cam. Oh, I forgot to look at my tweet.
Yes.
Remember my tweet of all the little things that I've got to use?
Oh, yeah.
So basically, I recorded a tweet This is when we first started the podcast, wasn't it? Of someone that says, me reading a Rothko in tears, I'm begging you just say the word cock. And then it had all these different words that you use instead. So, oh, it was a thread.
Yeah.
I wish I'd got the whole thread, but I'm just going to try to squeeze in these ones that we've got here. So, as Krychek gets to the edge of the pool, Mulder arrives. Perfect timing. So coincidental.
Yeah.
Mulder gets out of the pool and asks what's up to Krychek, and let's just say this man is like one step away from being fully erect, and it's not appropriate for TV, but we decided to go with this shot anyway, and the Lord thanks you, Chris Carr. Mulder's limp. Why would you drink at this moment, Emma?
Because I was just feeling the vibes. Enjoying the conversation.
And Krychek tells Mulder there's a situation going down. And the situation is Mulder's member. Clearly, first of all, and Mulder's and Krychek's like, you better put that rod away because they want you over there right away. So
you know,
they start walking, ignoring Mulder's junk that's clearly on display. And Mulder asks, what kind of situation? And Krychek, still ignoring Mulder's pillar, it's like, it's a hostage negotiation. And Mulder's like, and they want me? And Krychek's like, they want your pleasure stick.
Love it.
Mulder's like, what for? And Krychek's like, well, put that sword away and I'll tell you. So Mulder picks up his towel and dries his face and hair. And Krychek says, the guy escaped a mental institution. He's got four people at gunpoint in an office building and he claims that he's being controlled by aliens. And if Mulder wasn't already hard, he definitely is now, hearing about aliens.
Yeah. Hearing about that?
Was hard, though. Which explains all the sexual tension between him and Krychek from this point onwards. Poor Krychek did not have a chance after that close encounter.
Encounter, definitely.
So then we cut to downtown Richmond, Virginia. August 7th, 1994. And also realize how specific the fucking super are because it's Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Not Chris.
Yeah.
We cut there and we see like there's a bunch of snipers on rooftops and they're all pointed towards a travel agency that's called Travel Time. Travel Time. Very sci-fi. And there's like police cars and everything outside. So Mulder and Krychek drive up. And we can see, like, there's police barricades and there's, like, nosy little fucks trying to see what's going on. And I don't know why, but Mulder and Krychek's little jog as they're jogging into the place where all the FBI people are just sends me. It's so fucking fun. So,
yeah. That's good.
Krychek introduces himself and the policeman's, like, right over here. And then we go to meet Lucy Kasdan. So she's like Agent Mulder when she sees him and he says yes and she introduces herself and says that she's the negotiations commander and thanks him for coming. Mulder introduces Krychek, which I'm very surprised that I didn't just forget that he was there. And Kasdan says, let me show you what we've got. And then we go over to a blackboard because remember, this is the 90s. And on the blackboard, there's like lots of shit written down. But one of the most important things is it says honesty, containment, conciliation. That's how you say that? Conciliation? Yeah. And resolution. And Kasdan says that the guy's name is Dwayne Barry. He's armed with a 9mm Smith & Wesson handgun. And she says it's her belief that, or that tactical team's belief that he's prepared to use the gun and is not afraid to die. Mulder asks what he wants. And Kasdan says, safe passage for himself and his original hostage, a shrink named Hacky. And Mulder asks where he's wanting to go. And Kasdan says he's bent on taking the doctor with him to an alien abduction site. Only he can't quite remember where the site is. So he stopped at the travel agency. Which is just brilliant. I love that he's taking someone hostage and this is where we're going. I don't know where that is though. And also this is the 90s, so you kind of Google map.
You're going to go to travel agents.
Which seems weird, but okay. So Mulder asks if he's lucid, and Kasdan says yes, but he's off his medication, so he's manic, and that he's like going on about scoop marks on his body and like homing devices and everything. So Mulder says, like what? And Kasdan says that he's going on about alien abduction, and she's very like dismissive of it. that says, oh, I think you know something about that. And Mulder's like, yep, I do, but like, not a trained hostage negotiation person. Not what they're called.
But, you know, yeah, I don't know. Well, I know what you mean. Yeah,
so
I don't
know what they're called. Cass then says they'll take him through it and says that Agent Rich is their advisory, yeah, and that he'll be coaching Mulder. So Rich walks up and says that Mr. Barry, that's my dad. He needs a friend, someone who appears to understand him and can appeal to his sense of reason. Now, I've only seen Dwayne Barry for like a few minutes of screen time, but I'm going to go ahead and say he doesn't have a sense of reason. But I'm not an expert like these guys, so whatever. So Mulder asks what they know about his abduction experiences, and then Kasdan's like, you really believe this stuff? And then Mulder's like, is that a problem, bitch? And Kasdan says, listen, we're here to save lives. She doesn't actually say, listen, I just threw that in. And again, comes back our drunk conversation from last night.
I was like, I've had this conversation before, and I was like, oh, listen.
Listen. So she says, she'll begin your negotiations immediately. Every 3 hours, they'll reevaluate their progress and let their tactical commander advise on an update of the use of force. I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to be using guns because it's America. So, Mulder's like, cool. And, like, I don't know much about the FBI, but I'm pretty sure they don't bring in fucking novices to do negotiation. Hostage negotiations. When there's people's lives on the line. But whatever. Whatever, Chris. So, Mulder's like, if this man isn't an abductee, he needs to know more about and like all his history, and says that each abduction case is different. And Kasdan's like, listen, that's not available to us, so just get fucking on with the job. Mother's like, nobody's thought to call for hospital records. And Kasdan's like, look, which is a lot like listen. You're like, look, Agent Wilder, the guy's a psycho, not PC. We do not approve of that term, Kasdan.
No.
Your object is to keep him on the phone. The longer you do, the more chance he's not got of killing people. Yeah. Basically, the longer he keeps on the phone, the less likely he is to kill people.
Yeah.
If we stop to do a Freudian analysis, next thing we know, we've got 4 dead hostages. But it's like, if you've got someone who's an alien expert and also someone who's studied psychology, maybe let them use that degree to help in this negotiation. But listen.
That's a good point.
I'm an amateur. I'm not with the FBI, so what do I know?
Yeah.
She walks away. She's like, I'm so fucking done with this bitch. So then we cut to Travel Time Travel Agency, and we've got a bald dude sitting on the floor and some more hostages. And then Hacky tied to a chair, so he's having a great time. And the bald guy asks, are we going to have to sit like this all night? And then Dwayne, like, backhands him, fucking bitch slap. And a woman gasps. And to be fair, he got what he deserved because he's a little bitch. Like, stop wanting to sit on the floor, Bob. Life could be worse, as you've just now found out. Bob.
No wonder. Bad mood. Dwayne was just like, right, shut up.
Also, is that a coincidence that the character's called Bob in the first episode where we see the full outline of Mulder's dick?
Yeah, these are the important questions. You're making a good point.
Oh, I never should have been allowed to do this half of the podcast. So.
Oh, that's great.
Hacky tells Dwayne not to hurt anyone. And Dwayne walks over to him and then grabs him by the collar and tells the Dr. Hacky that he's not going to hurt him because this time you're going with Dwayne Barry. Again, referring to himself in the third person. It's not a great look. Basically to see what it's like to be abducted and know it's real. And to be fair, I feel like the doctor deserves that for not believing him. But also, I wouldn't believe him. So, road trip for Dr. Hacky. Nice and fun.
Yep.
So then the phone rings and we cut to the little station they've made up for the FBI. And Mulder is sitting down with a pair of headphones on, and Rich and Kasdan are also listening on this call. So Dwayne picks up, Mulder asks if it's him, and Dwayne says yeah, and Mulder introduces himself as Agent Fox Mulder. And if someone phoned me with the name Fox, I would immediately hang up, but that's just me. So
I'm like, alright, this is a scam.
Fox says that it's so weird calling him Foxy. That's something like Foxy.
And Foxy.
That doesn't work. Fox space.
Foxy Mulder.
Like, yeet. Not Fox.
Yeah.
I'm not Dinara.
Yeah.
What's his name? Reggie. Reggie something. Call him Foxy. I mean Fox. Like the Canadian, but it's really Scottish.
Yeah, the Fife. The Fife, eh?
Is that only people in Bedford?
Yeah, I mean, eh? Yeah.
No, it's not. This happens to me all the time. I think things are like Scotland-wide, and then it's just Fife, and I'm like, I had no idea.
I think it is. Or just like the East Coast.
East Coast, yeah, something. What class do you never say hear... No, do you know why? Because they say but at the end of a sentence, and that really fucking pisses me off.
Yeah. So that's how you feel about you.
Yeah.
But yeah, where I used to work, there was a woman, I think she was cowed for cowed and beef, and after like every second word, there was A. She was like, oh, yeah, this A, and oh, aye, that A, aye, can I mean A? I'm like, oh my God, then. I'm like, we need to calm it down.
So yeah, you might think it's your thing, Canada, but we've been doing it for hundreds of years before you, so.
Yeah.
Not that I have any beef with Canada, I love Canada, and if anyone lives in Banff and wants to me to come live with them for a short time, I'm willing to do that. Is it Banff or Banff? Forgot now.
Banff.
Banff.
Because it's a Banff up the northeast of Scotland. B-A-N-F-F.
I'm talking about in Canada, though. Is it spelled the same?
Yeah.
Oh, so we stole our fucking town name as well?
I'm sure.
But Banff is incredible. It looks amazing. It's like on my bucket list. So, yeah, if we have any Canadian listeners, make yourself known. And if you live near Banff, I will come live with you for a couple of weeks. If you want to drive me to see that beautiful lake with the mountain view. Oh, it looks so amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Also, maybe there's that town in Canada that's spelled Barry, not like Twain Barry, but like my Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. Mm-hmm. I really want to go there. Yeah. I'm like, it's named after my people. I need to go. I wonder if that's in French Canada. Because my dad says we're part French.
I could Google it.
And I don't know if he's lying or not. I know there's the name La Barry. So I don't know if it comes from that or not, but my dad says we're part French, which I'm not incredibly happy about. You know how I feel about the French. If we've got any French listeners, that's just a joke. It was like an inside joke. That kind of how it started.
There you go. The area was named Banff in 1884 by George Stephen, president of the Canadian Pacific Railway, recalling his birthplace near Banff, Scotland.
Oh, so Banff's... Right, well, I feel like you should publicise that more because everyone's like in love with Banff, and it's so amazing, which it does. I want to go again. No shade to Canada, but it's named after our place in Scotland, so. You know what I'm saying, eh?
Anyway, know where you come from.
Where the fuck were we? For the rest of this episode, can we just call Mulder Fox? Just because it feels so weird.
If you want, little...
I was out squatching.
Oh, yeah, I was out squatching.
But you got me.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, so I've looked up Barry in Canada.
Is it in the French part?
Settled in the war. And Barry's named after Sir Robert Barry.
Scottish or?
Who is born in Florida. Spanish Florida. Died in England. So I don't know.
Barry's not an English name, so he's
Oh, the son of a Scottish surgeon.
Yes, Dr. There we Robert go, Barry. Scotland. Fuck it, yes. Freedom.
Oh, they were from the borders.
Oh, not the
They're from the borders.
I can hate the borders. Maybe I'll be English down there.
Oh, but like,
if we've got any listeners in the borders, fuck you.
Southwest borders, though. Sangar?
I don't know. I've only been to Dumfries and Galloway, and I remember the people there. I was like, may as well be English because you're cops. So. If we've got an English listeners, that was just some friendly manner. I'm not planning any of this out, by the way. Where the fuck were we?
Right.
This is the worst tangent ever. I'm not even at my dinner. So I've had a bowl of soup all day.
So, Barry is in Ontario. Ontario, I don't know.
Ontario. That's French-Canadian, is it not?
You're asking the wrong person. It's there. I don't know if you can see it.
Is it near Montreal? Montreal is like French Canada.
It's right there. Oh, there we go.
It's not really...
So Quebec, Ontario, Manitoba?
I feel like that's French Canada, but I feel like the east part is the French bit, is it not?
I thought the west part was the French bit.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not that great with Canada.
I don't know.
I love
all your... I remember is...
Poutine and all that.
Is one of the Yukon.
What?
Do you remember that cartoon? It was Yvonne of the Yukon.
No.
And it was like a French Canadian dude. And he was, that's all I remember. And I'm sure it went to the
cat.
Hold on,
like dresses
of
park ranger.
Yvonne of the Yukon. No.
When I hear Yukon, all I think about was from that sound of you, from Tennessee, where the blossom blooms and blows. What am I looking at here? Nah, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. Where is the French Canada part?
It's the Yukon, is it not?
I don't know where the Yukon is, all right? I just told you, the only reference I know for the Yukon is fucking Sam and Dean.
That's the way.
There are strange things done in the midnight sun, where the sun... No, hold on. There are strange things done in the midnight sun where men moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. But the queerest sight... What was it? Fuck! I used to know the Northern Lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest I ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake LaBarge where I cremated Sam McGee. Now, Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the South Jerome, God only knows. That's all I know up to, off by heart. Can you hear those dogs?
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking
I can hear them, yeah. Right, okay, figure it out. French Canada is the east.
Oh!
Where is it?
Fucking win for Jessica.
Where is it?
Fucking win.
There you go.
Win.
So I don't know if Barry is in.
It is.
I think Barry's further down.
No, that's in... does that not go right down to the border there?
No, I don't think... I don't know.
Show me that map again.
I got
this is going to be so boring for our listeners, but I swear to God, I'm not cutting out. I can't be fucked.
All right. So that is that wee bit at the bottom. Okay.
I'm start doing this sober.
New France. No, it's not. Oh, wait, hold on. Maybe it is. It's not the same... Yeah, because that includes some of... What I think is the US as well, so I think it is. I don't fucking know.
No, it's Canada, no. The border dips down at that bit. So yeah, that is, yes. So Barry is in the French speaking part.
Yeah, so it must
I'm
be
a little disheartened by that, but we'll go with it. It's just banner.
Anyway, they all got ties to us.
Yeah.
They'll come from us.
Yeah. That's why I swear to God. It probably doesn't, but I'm going to go ahead and say that's why Canadian people say eh, is because Scottish people say eh.
Eh? Can I mean eh?
Not the same, it's not like the same pitch, if you know what I mean? They go like eh?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas like, can eh? I mean eh?
Can I mean eh?
Does anybody know where the fuck eh? I was on the notes?
I don't remember.
So
we started talking about Banff and then
we're talking about Fox from now on. So Fox, this is so wrong.
Yeah.
I just want to go away because it feels so wrong. So Fox says that Fox Mulder. And Fox looks down at his little notepad. He's got like all his little instructions written down because he's an adept.
Yeah, he's cute.
He's cute as you go.
It's
like, he wants to drink vodka. Or like 13-year-old and I'm a horse.
Oh, yeah. They can't exist at the same time.
So, Dwayne says that everyone's just sitting here for their travel plans. And Fox is like, I think I know what you're going through, Dwayne. And then he seems like he just wants to make sure that, like, the hostages are all right. And then Cassian's literally pointing out their names on the blackboard. Like, he's an idiot. I mean, like, these are the names.
Yeah.
List them off. And it's Bob, Kimberly, and Gwen, and then Dr. Hackey. And Fox just wants to make sure that they don't get hurt. So Dwayne Barry is like, you think you know what I'm going through? You don't know what Dwayne Barry is going through? And I'm like, dude, stop it. Stop fucking referring to yourself as a person. You've still not been to down the hatch to get our poutine.
No, I've not.
I feel like everyone pronounces it wrong, and then Canadians are like, oh, that's not right, mate. So I apologize to Canada for the millionth time from this episode. Sorry, Canada. So Fox is like, I know you're scared, Dwayne. And basically says, like, you'd like he knows that Dwayne wants everything to go nice and smooth, doesn't want anyone to die. And Dwayne's like, yeah, so you can put me back in a nut house where I belong. And again, not the PC term. Or a psychiatric facility. Still. Too much wine, I can't speak now. So I don't know what that noise was, but I never want to hear that again in my life. That fucking creeps me out.
It was the dog. I was like, what? What's a dog do?
Call me a dog?
It sounded like a girl.
Yeah. This is why you don't drink around empty stomachs. So, it's empty. Where's my emergency whiskey? Because I ran out of all liquids.
I like the big guns.
Yes. When struggling to speak, the best thing is picturing so ham whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The Isla malt. Wait.
Yeah.
Is it the Isla?
Go.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I was wrong there when I said that. Yeah. It is, isn't it? And it is pronounced Laphroaig. Yeah.
Laphroaig. I don't think it's got the T in it. In your pronouncing. I can't see that.
All I know is it's not Laphroaig. I don't know. I can't remember what some English guy called it, but he was like Laphroaig, blah, 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 blah. I was just like, dude, do not pronounce every letter in that. Laphroaig. Oh, I can't remember what he called it.
Laphroaig.
Anyway.
Wow.
Smoky.
The wonder of the peace. I do like a petite.
Yeah, I love a good peat. That's why I love my Isla malts, because they're very peaty.
Yeah.
Good smoky whiskey. Anyway, this is not a whiskey podcast. So, Dwayne's not very happy. He doesn't want to go back to the psych ward. So, we see Dwayne, and he opens up the blinds, and he can clearly see across the street Mulder talking to him, which I'm like, why would you even be in view of the guy that you're doing the hostage negotiations with? I feel like that's a rookie move. The FBI, you just couldn't even think to not be in sight of the guy that's holding hostages. Not great.
Okay, yeah.
So, Twain's like, what's your name? Mulder. I know the routine. And then he says, honesty, containment, conciliation. Still not sure I'm saying that right. And we cut back to Mulder and Kasdan. And Dwayne asks if he's missing something. It's resolution, brah. You're missing resolution. But he doesn't want a resolution to this. He just wants his own crazy little... Why is my desk now covered in fucking bottles? I shouldn't have so many empty tequila bottles. I keep saying I'm going to put lights in them or something. It never happens. So, open this flask one-handed and see how that goes. I was going to take this one in the night out for the train ride, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I did not need any more alcohol.
David wouldn't give over. No. I've just googled it. You do pronounce the G. Laphroaig. Although I suppose when you say it, it does sound like it doesn't have the G, but yeah, Laphroaig.
Yeah, thank you. So, I win for Jessica today.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, if we speak quick enough, you can never hear the G.
Yeah, yeah. Laphroaig. But it'd be more of like a T than a G, surely.
I don't know. I would have thought, hold on. What's this saying? This is just Google.
Like, I say Laphroaig. Laphroaig.
Laphroaig.
Laphroaig. Are we really listening to Google, American little bitch?
Well, I thought it might be actually something proper.
No offense to our American listeners.
No.
Today I'm just going off on, how many people can Jessica offend in one episode? We just pick them off, fucking Canadians, French, Americans. Who's next?
Yeah.
Fucking taking these old. Oh, English for them too.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Oh, here we go. Hold on. It's a video.
Scotch whiskey, single malt from the island of Isla. We are looking at how Tanan Laphroaig.
Laphroaig. He was Scottish. He's like a soft
French, I'm sure.
But he's not.
Yeah.
Oh, not a French person.
Laphroaig.
I don't think French would sound more German to me.
I don't know. It sounded like it had the wee French
No.
When he was speaking.
What is that again? Restaurant. You know what I mean? I don't speak French. So.
Yeah.
I don't speak
French. I don't know.
This pod, Emma, we're not even 2 minutes into the episode. We need to stop this.
Oh, there we go.
We are 41 minutes into this. I'm glad we know how to speak Laphroaig, because it's very soft, G.
We're
41 minutes in, and we've barely got 5 minutes into the episode. Jesus Christ. So, again, I'm not cutting this out because I can't be fucked, so... You chose to listen to this podcast. This is your fault. There are so many X-Files podcasts out there. You could have chose one of them. So,
but they chose us because we are delightful.
Chaotic.
I think
the only people that come here are dirty little bitches that want Now I've just offended all our listeners, no matter their nationality.
We're having fun.
Yeah. So, that whiskey clearly went straight to my head.
Yeah.
You just taste the smokiness. It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm almost out, though. Just fucking a little bit left in that little flask, and that's my emergency.
Fucking love it.
So, indigestion. So, anyway. Dwayne Banny.
Big Dwayne? What's up tonight?
Fox says he's on to trust Dwayne. And then we cut back to Dwayne, who's getting pretty fucking pissed off. And he says, I know, and Mulder continues to say, I know a lot of people that have experienced abductions, and Dwayne basically tells him, listen, you want to do something, keep your dogs on a leash. He tells him, if you try to gas me out or do anything stupid, these people will die. And he says, they're not taking them again. You got it. They can take somebody else, which is fair. Like, come on, aliens. Like, abducting someone once, bad enough, but abducting someone again.
Mm-hmm.
But then you could keep, I guess it's got to be the same person because of, like, their monitor and stuff. Because I always think, like, I remember I used to watch these shows again. Why are we going off on a tangent? 40 minutes in. But still, I used to watch these shows, like, where they would, what's that called again? But they would get sharks and they would tag them. And then sometimes they'd get the same shark again so they could get their data off them. And I'm just like, this poor fucking shark is terrified. And I was like, I wonder if this is like where alien abduction comes from. Like, it's just because this is what we've done to the animals for so long. It's just like like a guilt thing that we're like then thinking about other species doing that to us. Which you should feel guilty about. I know you were trying to do some research on animals, but fuck you. It's like all these documentaries where they're like, oh, this is so sad. This poor baby animal, like, watching it die. And I'm just like, you could have helped it. Or you could have at least euthanized it so it didn't have to die like a slow, horrible death on its own. Instead of sitting there filming it. There's a special place in hell for these cameramen on. And they're like, oh, it's so tough on the cameramen. No, you could have just helped. So basically what I'm saying is I hope you all die a slow, painful, unaided death. checking more people off the list. Who else can have a fin on this podcast? But yeah, that's my view on the whole animal documentary things, in case you were wondering. Just keeping it real, yeah. So, Fox says, nobody's going to try anything. And then Dwayne just hangs up on him. He's like, I've had enough of this lying bitch. And Mulder's like, who is this guy? Is he FBI? And Kasdan says that he's former FBI. And Mulder's all pissed off because he doesn't think to mention that to him beforehand. Mm-hmm. And Kasdan tells him that he's been out of the Bureau since 1982. And that he was institutionalized on and off for over a decade. And then she's like, it's beside the point. And I was like, I think it actually is the point. And you're doing a hostage negotiation with someone who's FBI trained. But that's just me, Kasdan. That's beside the point. So then Fox says the point is that the Bureau wants to minimize their embarrassment and that they want to police their own guys. So Kasdan's like, yeah, they'd like to be neatly and cleanly as possible. And Fox says, well, you're off to a hell of a start. And I feel like there's just a lot of dialogue that I want to skip here.
Yeah.
Yes. Fox is like, if you wanted someone here to come down here and read your script, you didn't have to bring me out, which is true. Like, if they're just reading the script. Maybe get one of your trained hostage negotiators to do that. Mulder points out that this guy is afraid and that they're only going to win his trust by trying to understand what he's afraid of. And then Rich is just like, looking at him like this fucking guy. And Mulder asks Kasdan if she's ever spoken to an abductee and like heard them talk about their experience and how they were wide awake through all of it. And then he's like, would you like to know what they do to a woman's ovaries? Like, here you fucking go. Really. And Kasdan's just not like, really not particularly. Fucking iconic.
Yeah.
It's like, Mulder, or... I mean, Fox, you wouldn't even fucking begin to understand that because you don't have any ovaries, so just shut the fuck up. But here begins Chris Carter's obsession with the female reproduction organs.
Here we fucking go. Yes.
So Mulder's like, well, listen. I mean, Fox is like, listen, you need to alter your approach. And then he just like storms off, brushing past Krycek, who's been standing there like a fucking third wheel all this time.
Yeah.
And then Krycek, I'm like, Alex, please, give yourself a little bit of fucking dignity here. But he's like all this kiss arse, being like, oh, is there anything I can do to help after Fox storms off? And Kasdan's like, what's your name again? Because that's how relevant he is. And he says it's Krycek. And she's like, have you got your notepad and pen with you? And he like goes inside his little pocket to fetch it out.
It's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, such a shame. Like, he's a dick, but what a shame. Like, I can...
Yeah.
And then she tells him, like, Grandy 2% cappuccino with vanilla. And then asks Slather Agent if he wants anything. He's like, nah. This is just more fuel for his villain arc. Because, I mean, he's already a villain. but you're fucking just adding fuel to the fire. Leave this fucking poor boy alone. Oh, poor Cratchit. He still looks like a dork here right now, though. When does he come back?
He does.
When does he next come back? Because he goes from looking like a little weedly dork to being quite hot.
A little weasel.
Really quickly. Quite the glow up from like when he disappears to then when he comes back.
Yeah. I think it's season 4. No, it must have been in season 3. Was it? Character arc. Assistant of deduction. Oh no, is he comes back and kills Mulder's dad?
Oh, Crytek, you prick. Then again, I'm not a fan of Fox's dad, so fuck him.
Yeah, he's a dick as well.
Yeah. And he kills Melissa. Is that not in season 2 as well? Is that the beginning of season 3? I think this all happens like end of season 2, beginning of season 3. All that's important is he gets hotter. So
yeah, he does.
Like, what is it you say? If bad the cackle be lines too hot, why is it that you say all the time?
Hold on.
I remember you saying when we had a conversation about Nick from Handmaid's Tale.
Okay.
Capital B bad.
Let me find it. If villain bad, why sexy?
That's not it. That's not it, man. There's capital B.
There's a few things I've said.
A wise woman once said, if a man is hot / evil, how is he capital B bad? Explain. I'm sure that was on... Was that on the theme? Oh, no, that was just discussing X-Files. I'm sure you said it again. Yeah, I feel like it's said again. Oh, here we are. Because I screenshotted it. Because I'd sent the picture. It was when I was like... Remember Wine Sundays happened to fall on Handmaid's Tale given date in the UK? And I just sent you a picture of Nick and Commander Lawrence together, and I was like, I just know you've had too much wine / tequila.
I remember that.
And then it's like when you're watching Handmaid's Tale and these pair come on screen and you're like, it's my main bitches, and your main just mum just stares at you like, what the fuck? And you're like, listen, if the bitches are the bros and they're the bitches 100%, I feel you down in every capacity. And then I was like, the bitches are the bros. Those are my bitches. Fuck feminism. I'm all about these two bitches and their unlikely bromance on and off screen. Wait, why is that not coming up with the capital B bad though? It's not there. Because that's a screenshot, but somehow it came up when I searched it. I'm sure it came up in the same conversation. Oh yeah. If a man is hot and evil, how is he capital B bad? And then you've got this little emoji with the like eyeglass and monocle. Explain. Cannot be explained. So if we are right, we are right.
Explain.
And then you're like, I am pleased and invested in this narrative. Who is this gentleman? Who is he? He is the woman. He is the... And his eyes. I need to know for science, of course.
Yes. I'm sure there was another one.
But this is all relevant because Commander Lawrence is the guy from Firewalker. I can't remember his name, but he is in Firewalker. Mm-hmm. So it's all relevant to the X-Files. But not really. And we are now almost an hour into this recording and I'm still not finished my notes. So let's get this together. Unless you had something to say on this topic. What have you got?
I have a screenshot. I've got a screenshot from my memory somewhere. The 13th of January.
I can't see. I can't see. You're shaking too much. Why have you got that?
I don't know. I think
it's the speedo.
And it is automatically seeing
the full length of Mulder's cock.
But I'm sure, hold on, because I am sure I have a screenshot of this, and it was from the end of December of that other thing I said, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, but it was when we went to South Queen's Ferry for that meal.
I thought you were about to say like South Africa or something. I was like, I don't think I was there, but South Queen's Ferry. Oh, Scott.
Oh, no, it was that one. Yeah, the bitches are the bros. Those are my bitches. And I've also sent the other one where it's like my soul leaving my body when I'm sexy. Or my moral compass leaving my body when I'm sexy.
Yeah. I'm a feminist. And then it says there's a hot guy, I'm like, maybe I'm not a feminist.
Yeah.
I am, though. As my sister said. As my sister said, women should hate men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People should hate their oppressors. Yeah. And then she's like, women should hate men. And I'm like, okay. So, unless they're hot. So, not really, though.
No, not in real life, but when you're talking
the hot
about
part, you should know, man. So we cut to the FBI headquarters. Any guess where the FBI headquarters are, Emma? I'm almost called the Ariel there.
In Jamaica.
Jamaica. Jamaica mystery.
First thing that pops into my head.
How does a bastard orphan son of a whore and a Scotsman drop in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean? I don't know why that's so there we go. Oh, love a bit of Hamilton.
Anyway, there we go.
We know the world, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You're so right. We got to the FBI headquarters watching these. Yes, motherfucker. And Scully is watching the news report on the hostage takeover thing. Hostage takeover? No, the hostage situation.
So situation, yeah.
The news report is like blabbing on about the hostage situation. And Scully's phone rings, she picks up and she's like, Scully, because that's how people answer the phone, apparently, according to the X-Files. And Fox is like, it's me. I'm in Virginia. And Scully says, I know, I've been watching it on TV. What's going on there? She's like, what's the tea, girl? Fucking spill the tea. And Mulder asks, Fox asks, what's the media saying? And Scully says that an escaped mental patient, also not PC, is holding four people hostage in a travel agency. We cut to Mulder and he cut to Fox and he says, well, they're not telling you that it's a former FBI agent who claims to have been abducted by aliens. And Scully's like, seriously? And Fox is like, yeah, his name's Dwayne Barry. I don't know why his name matters, to be honest. And then he's like, I need your help. And then Scully's like, at our computer, she's like, I'm fucking ready, bitch, what do you need? And he says, I need you to find out what happened to him. Anything, transcripts from his therapy sessions, hypnotic, there we go, regressions. And again, he fully still believes that Scully is his partner. Like, try check who.
Yeah, he still believes, no.
And he wants to know about
we're all delusional.
That's it. And he wants to know about Dwayne Barry's abduction experience. Oh, and my indigestion. Oh dear. So then the lights suddenly go out. Am I going to miss the sprint race? Because this cannot happen. We need to hurry up.
Yeah. To cycle back to the Witches of the Bros, I found the bit I was looking for, and I thought, did we mention it? If a man's evil slash hot, then the feminism leaves my body, not my rules, not my because I will comply. Did you mention that?
No.
I was looking for.
Was it not my rules, not my circus?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I will comply. If a man's evil slash hot, the feminism leaves my body, not my rules.
If any of our listeners watch The Handmaid's Tale and your team look, fuck off and stop listening to us, because it's Team Nick all the way over here. We knick-knack. Give us a, you know.
A bit of blood?
Yeah. So, Emma doesn't watch The Handmaid's Tale, but she's still on Team Nick. Just from, she doesn't watch The Handmaid's Tale, but she does watch The Handmaid's Tale, because she gets a Snapchat, like, version of The Handmaid's Tale from me whenever it's on.
I watch it through Snapchat.
Yeah. So, anyway, the lights suddenly go out. And Scully's like, Mulder? And then there's like, people are fucking freaking out, all the SWAT team and all that. And Fox tells her that the lights have just went out. And then there's like a lot of back and forth between the snipers, who gives a shit. And they're like, oh, what's going on? And like the fountain turns off, which I like as well, because obviously they feel power. And then Dwayne is fucking waving his gun around like a madman. And then Gwen screams because Gwen's so fucking dramatic. And the only lights that are there are the police lights. And then I feel like there's like gunshots or something. And they're like, oh, God. Yeah. And yeah, the shots were fired. And there's all this bullshit. Who cares? And they're talking about how they've lost their line and all this fish. Who cares? And Carlson says that their electrical substation blew, and they've got no power. And then Fox is like, Dwayne? And Dwayne Barry's like, fucking told you. Fox asks if everyone's all right. And Dwayne's like, you didn't believe me, did you? And Fox is like, no, I fucking did believe you. Now, is everyone all right? Is anyone being shot? And then Dwayne looks at Bob, who's bleeding. But again, Bob's a little bitch, so he kind of deserved it.
Hey, Bob.
Gwen's tending to his wounds, and she's like, I need a towel, or he's going to bleed to death. And Dwayne's just like, guess we'll need a fucking doctor. So then we cut to, like, so basically then this turns into Mulder doing a hostage negotiation, which he shouldn't be doing. And now he's going into the hostage negotiation.
Yeah.
Sorry, the hostage scenario. Like, he's becoming a hostage. We've got him dressed up as a medic. Kind of looking like in the look, though.
Of course.
Yeah.
Lovely man in uniform. So, the tactical commander is telling, like, Mulder all the stuff that he needs to know. And the tactical commander is also apparently a trained NASA official because he's from space. And he was in that control room in space. So he tells him, like, oh, you'll hear everything, as he's putting, like, a little thing in his ear and all this nonsense. And he basically tells him, like, if you get trapped in there, we'll tell you if there's going to be a tactical assault. And they tell him how many rounds they think Dwayne Barry's got left and all this nonsense. And basically tells him that they'll be able to hear him from 100 yards away. So Mulder buttons up his shirt. That's the opposite way of what we'd like it to be going. I mean, Fox buttons up his shirt. The guys tell him, keep these concealed. Like, he's a fucking idiot. Like, obviously keep the things concealed. That proves that you're an FBI agent.
Duh.
And Carson's like, you really want to do this? And Mulder's like, yep. I mean, Fox is like, yep. This is so hard. Carson tells him that it's his job to deliver medical help and anything else is just a bonus. And basically says, like, this is risking your own life. So, you know, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, whatever you believe. And Mulder's, Fox is like, don't jump into his delusion. Can't negotiate with him if he thinks I believe him. And Kazan's like, right, you've got it. Fucking such a fool, Kazan.
Yeah.
And she's like, this dude standing next to me is Agent Janus, and he is an actual medic. So he'll do the medical work. Don't you start thinking that you can do that while you try to talk to Dwayne. Then the tactical commander says that they've got three snipers out there, and that anything they can do, that Mulder or that Fox can do to move Dwayne to the front door, basically, so they can shoot him. That's what they want to do. They want to shoot him in the medulla oblongata. That was pronounced wrong, but I didn't give a fuck.
Medulla oblongata.
He touches the back of Mulder's neck, and it's like any excuse to touch him. Like, but I feel you, bro. I would do the same.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the
Have you ever seen Warboy?
Nope.
Have you ever seen Warboy? Oh, the medulla oblongata.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah.
So then the snipers are outside and they see that they see Mulder and the guy approaching the main entrance. And Mulder knocks on the door and Kimberly opens up the blinds. Dwayne Barry's like, fuck it, Kimberly. I had one job, let them in the fucking door. That's all I'm asking. Yeah, isn't it? So she unlocks the door and lets them in. And then Fox is looking around and he's like, Dwayne. And then Dwayne's immediately like, hands in the air. So Dwayne looks, it's not Dwayne. If Fox looks very startled by this. It's very funny.
Yeah.
So what were you expecting? And Dwayne asked them to put the kit on the floor slowly. Fox says they're unarmed and that they just want to help the injured guy. And Gwen's like, over here! Because she's so fucking dramatic. But Dwayne's like, face the door. And then basically pats them down because, again, any excuse to touch them. And he asks if they're wearing a wire. Cool. And Fox is like, no, we're here to help. And Dwayne's like, okay. He's not believing any of it. So Fox lies and says, like, oh, we're not trying to do anything. Fox again is like, well, we don't want to make sure everyone else gets hurt. No, we want to make sure that no one else gets hurt. And then Janus goes up. Janus or Janice? I don't know. Janus, I guess, goes up to Bob and asks how he's doing. And then Gwen's like, he's dead, because she's fucking so dramatic. I hate Gwen. I would shoot Gwen, to be honest. Like, if you want to shoot anyone, shoot her, Gwen, because she's so dramatic and so annoying.
Say Bob, but yeah.
So Janus introduces himself, says he's a paramedic and he's going to take care of Bob. And Fox immediately goes to Dwayne and starts, like, trying to work on him. As in, like, trying to calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox says they want to work with you, Dwayne, but you got to work with them. Why not let the others go? And Dwayne says, the doc's going with me. And Fox is like, well, let the women go. Because apparently this is like the Titanic. And they're like, ladies and children first. And
yeah.
Fox then asks, were they here, Dwayne? The light, was that them? And Dwayne's like, don't try to fucking BS me. Bullshit. Fox says, we lost time. I checked my watch, but he didn't check his watch. So he's full of shit. So you're right to question him, Dwayne. And Fox is like, well, is that what happens? Time stops. And then Dwayne closes his eyes and he sees like a flashback of like screaming. Like you hear the whirring sound and the lights are flickering and it's all going fucking crazy. The little aliens are, woo! You know, Yeah.
It's a lot.
The aliens were there, man. Yeah.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack.
Little alien. Fucking trying to sleep in peace when the little aliens come. The last thing you want. And Dwayne says that Fox is making it up. And he's like, is that not what they've been saying to you, Dwayne? It's like, fucking flip the switch on him. And
yeah.
Dwayne's like, yeah, they're saying it's all inside my head. And they keep trying to give me more drugs. And Fox was like, I hear you, Dwayne. And Dwayne's like, you hear me because I've got a gun, which is a fucking valid point.
Yeah.
And Fox was like, yeah, nah, I believe you, man. I believe you, bro. And then Caston's like, no, you're feeding into psychosis in his ear. And like, Fox is like, I know you're afraid. I know the pain and fear you must feel. And Caston's like, just listen to me. And Caston now knows how Scully feels every goddamn fucking day.
There's regret in her voice. She's like, back.
But Fox was like, listen, I've talked to people just like you, and nobody wanted to believe them. And then comes up and whispers into Fox's ear that this guy's going to die if they don't get him out of here. It's like, fucking, you're as dramatic as Gwen. So Fox says, why not just let him go, Dwayne? There's no reason for this man to die. If you've got the power, let him go. You've got the power. Is that what's on? You've got the power.
You've got the power. Yeah.
Right. I've got the power. That's it. So Dwayne's like, okay.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, oh, he made the right choice. And then Dwayne's like, no, Baldy can go, which I fucking love. Baldy can go. But you stay, trading you for him.
My great.
And then we cut to Caston, who's like, for fuck's sake! Like, how have you done this? But I don't know why she's so pissed off, because you've got the guy that's injured out there. So just calm down, Caston.
Yeah.
So then...
I'll take a little victory.
They help the hostages out, and Dwayne ties Mulder to a chair and says, now let's see how good a liar you are. That's in his love. And Fox is like, listen, brah, I'm telling you the truth. And then Dwayne Barry, again, referring to himself in the third person, is like, how could you ever know what Dwayne Barry's going through? And Fox says that it happened to his sister. And again, Dwayne, this is so long. He's like, oh, you're lying. He's like, I'm not lying. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck sake, Chris Carter. This is why this episode's so long. It's not because of my tangents, it's because of Chris Carter.
He's fine.
And Fox asks, how does that happen, Dwayne? Driving in your car, alone in bed at night? Stop it with alone in bed at night, because that's why. I'm always like, about to drift off and like, well, the aliens are about to abduct me out of the section room. And then I watched this film on Disney Plus the other night, and it was Sunday night, past Sunday, and it was about, what's it called, No Savior or something, it was about aliens, and I was like, why did I watch that before bed? But I didn't actually have a nightmare, thankfully, but every time I woke up during the night, I was like, checking my, I was like, fucking aliens here? I was like, no, we're all good. Anyway, he's saying, how did it happen? And he's saying, like, oh, you're paralyzed, aren't you? Again, don't want to feed into sleep paralysis. And we cut back to Caston, who's looking mega pissed. She's just like, this fucking idiot. And Mulder continues, like, and then they're there. And Caston tells Mulder, you're going to push him over the edge. He needs a clear picture of what's going on. So, and then she says, you're choosing a dangerous course, Agent Mulder. And of course she does, because what's that bullshit dialogue? What is that bullshit dialogue, Chris Carr?
Yeah.
So we cut back to Dwayne standing over Fox. And Fox says, there are beings, aren't there, Dwayne? Are they tall or small? And Dwayne's like, oh, no. And he's like, diminutive? And I'm like, all right, he's got his thesaurus out, I suppose. So then Dwayne closes his eyes again, and you can see like the aliens in his house, and it's just look. And Mulder's like, oh, they take you, Dwayne, against your will, don't they? And then Gwen whispers to one of the other hostages, I think it's maybe Kimberly or something, and she's like, he's going to kill us. And I'm like, you're so fucking dramatic, Gwen. Calm down. Like, it's not your story.
Chill out.
Fucking hell. And Fox continues to say, like, oh, you're powerless, you can't speak. It's always the same, nobody can help you. He asks, where do they take them? Do they have a ship? Do they take you to the ship? How do you get there? Are you conscious? Have you been transported? And then we see a flashback of Dwayne, like, floating up as the aliens surround him. And, like, he looks like he's in a lot of pain. And then, like, there's, like, a blinding light. And then we cut to the office where they're still listening to Dwayne. And this is where I cut off, so I'm hoping this is where you picked up when they're in the little room.
Yeah, aye. Cut to the office where they're listening. Dwayne's calmed down and he goes on to say, talk to the third person. They're talking to Dwayne Barry, but they don't speak. I'm like, okay.
Dwayne Barry.
Dwayne Barry. So we cut to back into the travel agents. Dwayne is sitting on the floor leaning against some kind of cabinet, and he is saying that he can hear what the aliens are saying. They can read his mind. Mulder is looking engrossed, and I've left a wee note saying, shout out to a man in uniform again.
Yes.
Mulder's like, yep, that's right, adoptees Abductees call it mind scan. It's kind of telepathy. And then Dwayne's banging on. He's going about how he tells them he doesn't want to go. They never listen. And I can understand what he said. And the two other hostages, the two women, one has her head in her hands. She's always thinking, like, oh, this is it. Like, we're going to die. But the other one is, like, properly listening to what Dwayne is saying. And then he goes on to say that Dwayne continues on to say that the aliens know what he's saying, but they just ignore him and they go about their business. He stands up slowly and points to the doctor and he's like, tell him what their business is. Mulder says that they take you aboard the ship to perform the test, and then Dwayne is like, yep, drill my teeth. And then he turns around to the doctor and just yells it like in his face, and he's just like, So we cut to, well, it's almost like a flashback. Dwayne is restrained to the table with like some kind of pattern or symbol on it, illuminator light. And this was bogging, so I was just like, just gonna flash forward it because it's my end to a machine lures, and there's like a laser drilling into his teeth. He's screaming. And it was horrifying. I was like, that's the stuff Nightmares are made of. I was in this episode for the first time.
Like, I don't even have a fear of the dentist, but I feel like this could really be really triggering to people that do. Because, like, my sister hates the dentist. I remember, like, seeing her squirm in her waiting room chair. Like, when you hear, like, you can hear someone, like, in another room getting drilled, their teeth getting rolled, and
you're
like, oh. So I feel like this could be very triggering for people that have, like, a phobia of the dentist.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a nice scene. Like, I didn't watch it because I was like, I don't need to watch it. We didn't really need that in there, but okay. So we cut back to the present in the office where the FBI are, and they're drilling into the wall for a camera to look through it, but the pattern on the wall is kind of soft. It looks like the pattern that was on the table that Dwayne was on. Spooky. Kind of sus. So the other agents are looking over a map, and the phone rings, and the guy calls out, yeah, who here can talk to an Agent Scully? And Krycek comes running over. He's like toddling over to answer it. So we cut Scully, who's sitting at her computer with like information up on the screen, and she asks immediately where Mulder is, because of course she does. And Krycek just like, yeah, he treated himself for one of the hostages. And she's just like, what? She's shook. And Krycek's just like, yeah,
I don't know why she's body. Surprised though. This should have been like, she should have known this was his next move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's been a season. She should have known like this, the pipeline of what could have happened. Sure. So she is proper concerned. She's like, you have got to get him out of there. And Krycek is like, oh, well, they're working on it. And Scully's like, no, you have got to get him out of there now or he's going to die. But she's so worried about her boyfriend. Oh. And Krycek is just like, how can you be sure? And Scully says that because Dwayne Barry is not what Fox thinks he is. And there's a dramatic as fuck turn to the computer screen, which shows some kind of file on Dwayne Barry and like focuses in on him. And then it
just also he's schizophrenic or something.
I think it has a photo of like his brain.
I thought it said like something about his.
And like something flashing. Maybe it does.
I can't remember.
It's been that long since I watched it. So back in the travel agents, Dwayne is sitting behind Fox. And to the right, he asks how old Samantha was when they took her. Mulder says she was 8, and that Dwayne says that he's seen kids sometimes, young girls. So they go back and forth, and Fox notices that they're drilling the hole for the camera, so he keeps Dwayne talking and keeps his attention off it. Dwayne says that he tells the kids not to be scared. Mulder asks if they hurt them, and Dwayne's just like, yeah. He's like, sometimes you just want to die. Like, he's living with a gun to your head, not knowing when it's going to go off. And I bet this makes Fox feel so much better. I bet what happened to his sister. He's like, oh, great. But Mulder... And Fox eventually stops him, and he's just like, you can let the others go, Dwayne. Like, let the others go and take me. And Dwayne Barry just laughs. He's like, oh, if they heard you talking like that, they're going to have your ass. And he's just like, oh, ha, ha, laughing away. And Mulder's like, oh, yeah, like, smiling. And he's like, I don't care about that, Dwayne. And Dwayne Barry's just like, nah, I wouldn't do that to you. It's so funny, this whole back and forth, this whole dynamic. And then he's like, oh, besides, Doc and I got an appointment. Ain't that right, Doc? And he just looks like a fright sitting there where he's gagging. He's just like, help me.
He's like, I can't answer, so don't lie asking me questions. So fucking funny to me. For a guy.
Yeah. And, right, realistically, it's not a funny situation, but this whole thing is just hilarious to me.
Like, real life, obviously, it wouldn't be, but listen, it's the Exiles. We're allowed to laugh.
Yeah. So the FBI agent feeds a small camera through the hole of the drill. And the person next to the monitor gives the okay sign, and in the monitor, we see the back of Mulder's head Haki, the woman of the corner, but Dwayne Barry is out of view. So the tactical commander says that we've got a picture and points out where Mulder is and says that he's opposite the doctor. The women are on the north wall. They can't see the east wall, so Dwayne Barry must be there. So like in the background, we hear someone say like, oh, hold on a second. And Captain and the commander turn around and see Scully arguing with the agent. She asks to speak to the agent in charge, like a buff-ass bitch. Krychek pops up out of nowhere, and he's like, oh, Scully, like, calm down. Like, if you ever tell him to calm down, you're asking for a slap.
I can't say, I just saw a thing, like, a guy I used to work with, it was, like, some Facebook post, and just to make clear he's not a misogynist, this was, like, a sarcastic reply, but I was like, what's the best way to calm a woman down? And he said, to calmly say, why are you being so hysterical?
Yeah.
I was like, never in the history of man has saying calm down to someone made them more calm. It only ever infuriates them. It makes them less calm. I don't like people still say calm down. It's the worst thing you can do.
It is. And yeah, Scully just lays into them. She's like, do not tell me to calm down. He's like, I'm not going to be calmed down until I can talk to someone who will listen to what I am saying. And we're just like, fuck you. So Captain walks over and she's just like, yo, what's the problem here? So Scully introduces herself, says that she's special agent Scully and she has information that's vital to your negotiations. Kasdan asks what information she has, and Scully says, I think there's been a critical misjudgment here. The man who claims to be under the control of aliens, his mental health history describes a rare state of psychosis. So they are sitting at a desk now, and Scully puts paper down in front of Kasdan, which is Dwayne Barry's medical records. She says, as you can see from the records, in 1982, Dwayne Barry was shot in the line of duty, the bullet piercing his bilateral frontal lobe. The injury left him nearly incapable of functioning in society. It effectively destroys the moral centre of his brain. And then she goes on to say that something similar happened 100 years ago. And when Kasdan questions what effect it had on the man, Scully says that he became a pathological liar, suffered from severe delusions. His behaviour was characterised as bizarre and violent, with a tendency to act out his fantasies. Kasdan asks how he got involved in this case. And Scully's just like, oh, Agent Mulder called me. We used to work together. And he's just like, aww. And the way she says that last sentence, she messes him so much. And it is so obvious.
Get back to you.
It's so cute. They do. We need to reunite the besties. And Kasdan says, well, if that's true, you've got your former partner completely fooled. Scully asks if there's any way I could reach him with this information. Back in the travel agents, Dwayne just, like, sidles up to Mulder on a wee rolling chair. He just scoots over. And he's like, the government knows about it, you know. They're even in on it sometimes, right there in the room when they come. They work together with a secret corporation. So we cut back to Dwayne Barry's abduction, and there's two men in black standing in the doorway, and I've left a note saying seizure warning, by the way, fuck me. It's flashing a lot. Mulder asks who is in the government, and Dwayne Barry just says a man, the military, they're all in on it together. So we cut back to the listening table in the, like...
Is that what it's called, the listening table?
That's what I've called it, yeah.
Brilliant.
Dwayne Barry says that the government knows why they're there, but they wouldn't dare let the truth out, so they cooperate. Mulder says that you're going to have to deal with resolving this situation, Dwayne, sooner or later. And Dwayne Barry's just like, I'm tired. And Mulder's like, yeah, well, there's another way out. But you've got to tell them what you want to do. So Dwayne Barry says that he just wants to go back to the place where it first started, where they first came and got me. Mulder asks, where is that? And Dwayne just sighs and says, he's a mountain. We went up and up, ascended to the stars, and he says that he's not going again. We cut to Scully. And she's like, Mulder, it's me. I'm like, iconic line. And she's like, listen to me, you cannot trust Dwayne Barry. So we cut back to Mulder, and the sound is audible in the earpiece in his ear. Scully says that he's a brain-damaged psychopath who took a bullet in the head. He's not what you think he is. And Dwayne Barry just, like, startles suddenly in the room, so he might hear, like, Scully speaking through the headset and just looks up at Mulder. And Dwayne Barry's just like, yo, what? And Mulder's just like, how did they find you each time? And the shot of Mulder here, though, good shot. Just,
wasn't into the cinematography of it all.
Yeah. I just love the cinematography of it. See, I've left a wee note saying that it's delicious, apparently. It's been almost 2 months since I watched it, so I can't remember. But it must have been a good shot. So yeah, so Mulder's asking how they find Dwayne each time, and he says that it is implants, it is gums, the sinus cavities. He points to both and he lifts his t-shirt, revealing a scar over his belly button, and he says he has one in there too, and it's the tracking devices.
Yeah, I didn't want to see his treasure trail, to be honest.
I don't really see either. He says that they are tracking devices. So Scully tells Mulder that he could snap at any time. He has a history of irrational behaviour. Oh yeah, Fox. And now you have to work towards resolving this. Now you have his trust. You have to try and negotiate with him. So he to Fox, as he lets the words sink in, he looks over at Kimberly and Gwen, and Gwen is frightened while Kimberly is just there, like, passively, just like staring off into space. My throat's really dry after that wine. Mulder says to Dwayne, why not let the woman go? He'll deal with you if you let the woman go. Scully's like so encouraging, and she's just like, that's good, Mulder. And now he keeps
a little pat on the head for him.
Yeah, a little pat on the back. The HRT is moving into position, and unless you can get him to free the hostages, they're going to execute a tactical plan. And Fox tells Dwayne, the women have no consequence to you. Let them go. It's the right thing to do. And Dwayne Barry is just like, okay, but he stays. And he points or nods towards Hacky. So Mulder nods, and again, this is just funny. It's not really. He just like looks over them. He's like, you can go. And like, they're obviously like too afraid to move. But he's like, yeah, like everything's fine. Like, just go. And you're like, you're getting hostage for however long. He's like, go on, get.
I'd be like, don't have to tell me twice.
Don't go with my arm.
Out there.
Favorite quote. On that gun film, no, Swiss bar. Like, bye. Yeah, Dwayne's just like, no big deal, just walking out of here. And it looks like they do not trust him one bit. But Kimberly does stop as she's leaving, and she turns back to him and she says that, I just want to say that I believe you. Gwen swoops right on in there and leads her outside. And as they walk out, agents run over to help them, and it's announced that the women are clear, and they monitor Dwayne's movement within the travel agent as the SWAT team get into place. Scully says, this is a countdown, Fox. Yeah, they're coming at you. So the SWAT team get into position and ready up. And we cut back to Dwayne, who says that they'll need transport. Mulder asks, what do you need, Dwayne? A car? And Dwayne Barry is just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Boat? Train? Fox says, do you know where you want to go? And Dwayne just says, they're going to tell me. And Fox is like, Dwayne, you can't leave here if you don't know where you want to go. So the marksman outside readies his shot. And Mulder notices the red tracking dot on the back of Dwayne's neck and calls over to him to get out of range and to keep him alive. So Dwayne Barry walks out of range and away from the shot. And you know that Sebastian Stan voice, where he's just like, Sebastian. Mulder. But you, like, right here, he actively resulted in pushing him towards escaping and then Scully being abducted. If he'd let him take the shot, she would not have been abducted.
But listen, like, listen to me. Fox Mulder is a man of morals, and he doesn't want someone to get killed just because they are traumatized by being abducted. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, all true points. It was just funny to me. I'm like, this is the reason why he doesn't die and Scully gets abducted. It's just a funny... It's not funny, but it is funny.
Is it though? You know, or is it because Krycek told CSM that Scully is a bigger threat than what he thought? So
yeah.
Let's put it a little bit beyond Fox.
But then, yeah.
Stop just seeing what you want to see, Emma. Krycek is as much to blame.
He is. That's why we love him. He's a little rat bastard.
Affectionately.
So yeah, the sniper's told to hold the fire, and Fox says, there's something I want to ask you. You didn't believe me. I had to earn your trust. Now there's something I got to know. Are you making any of this up? And that was the wrong thing to say, because Dwayne is now raging. And this is my favourite line. He's like, you calling Dwayne Barry a liar now?
Whenever someone questions me now, I'm going to be like, you calling Dwayne Barry a liar? You calling Jesse Barry a liar?
Whenever I'm watching anything and they're like, oh, are you calling me a liar or whatever, I'm just like, are you calling Dwayne Barry a liar? It's so good. It's so good. And Fox is just like, no. Dwayne's like, you think I make all this up? And Fox like backpedals. He's like, no, I don't. I'm sorry. And yeah, Dwayne is raging. He looks ready to explode. He's just like, you're sorry. And Fox is like, Dwayne, only listen to me for a second. And Dwayne is like, nope. He just grabs his collar and he's like, you're just like all the others, aren't you? And they fucking scream back and forth at each other. It's a whole thing. And basically, Fox is like, yeah, I believe you. Whereas Dwayne is losing his shit, saying that he's just like everyone else. Because of the screaming, the line for the FBI listening table starts to break up. Carly is looking shook. And the Kazdan just kind of like sighs at the loss of the audio. She's just like, fuck's sake. This guy. And Dwayne's just like, I trusted you like a fool. This is where it gets weird. Mother is like panting and uncomfortable, and he's like, "Dwayne, can I say something? I know you're tired, but there's something you forgot to do when you left me and leave. You left the door unlocked." And the way he said, "Go unlock the door," like 4 or 5 times, weirdly panting, I'm like, "Just stop. You're making me uncomfortable."
Didn't turn you on at all?
No, it repulsed me.
If that audio hadn't been lost, Scully would have been like,
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm doing that. The listeners can't see me fanning myself, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Scully would have been turned on, capital T.
Mm-hmm. Capital T, capital O. Yeah. So I don't blame her, but watching it, I'm just like, me.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah, I get you. I feel you.
You're vibing too hard there. So basically, it just sounds like porn. But anyway, Dwayne Barry is now calmer, and he slowly makes his way over to the door, and a small red dot pops up on his chest. He looks down, and we cut over to Mulder, and we cut over to Fox, who looks a wee bit sad about it. And so Dwayne looks down and tenses up, anticipating the shot, and the shot is fired, and the glass shatters. So I think it's supposed to be like him fading out. It's like still hearing what's going on, and like the camera's blurry. But Dwayne Barry is loaded into the back of an ambulance while Mulder and Scully look on. So they finally reunite.
And Scully's like, "Are you allowed to keep this uniform? Yeah. Or... yeah.
Can we keep this? Can you hand it back?"
Oh, no, I think I need a paramedic. Tonight you can be the Dr. Fox.
Dr. Foxy. Oh,
yeah.
He's halfway there. Yeah, she asks him if he's okay. And she's like, "Yeah." And Scully's like, "Well, whatever you're feeling, you did the right thing." Fox is just like, "It's just that I believed him." And Scully's like, "Sometimes when you want to believe so badly, you end up looking too hard." So we cut to Jefferson Memorial Hospital in Richmond, Virginia. Mulder is walking down the hallway to Agent Kazdan, who's talked to a police officer. And they shake hands, and she turns to greet Fox, and thanks for coming.
It's so hard to say Fox rather than Mulder.
So he says, "I was surprised to get your call." And Kazdan says, "Yeah, well, it turned out, whatever your impression of the way it was handled, I didn't get to thank you. No, as it turned out, whatever your impression of the way it was handled, I didn't get to thank you for going out there and putting it on the line." So Mulder like smiles and just like laughs at himself, and she's just like, "What?" And Fox is just like, "I don't know, I guess I thought maybe you called me down here to chew me out." And this time she laughs. Fox asks, "How you doing?" And Kazdan says that they almost lost Dwayne, but he stabilized. They got him listed on critical. So they come to his door and walk in. Dwayne Barry is on the hospital bed, hooked up to machines, and Kazdan says that she checked in his records with the Bureau. It was exemplary. His accident was something of a mystery. Shot by his own weapon in a drug stakeout. Left for dead in the woods. He was never the same. Lost everything. Wife, kids, house. And Mulder says, "Fine fair of sanity." Hi, Mulder. Come on, guys. So Kazdan says that I actually called you down here for another reason, Agent Mulder. And she like paces back and forth, trying to find a way to say what she has to say. She says that in the x-rays, the surgeon found several pieces of metal in his gums, in his sinus cavity, and one in the abdomen. I had them checked. I felt you'd want to know. And there were tiny drill holes in his left and right rear molars. And Mulder is fucking shook. And
he's like, "I fucking told you."
I fucking told you though. And Kazdan says that a dentist who examined them said that they could not have been done with the current equipment in use, not without tripping or damaging the tooth. And Fox is just like, "Oh my god, like, what does this mean?"
Oh my and god.
Kaz is like, "Anyway, I thought you ought to know. And this is going to keep Mulder up at night. You're not going to sleep for the next
does
week."
Does Mulder even sleep?
I don't think he does. He's hopeless. He doesn't sleep. So Kazdan leaves the room, and Mulder looks down at Dwayne as the door closes. Cut to FBI headquarters, Washington, D.C. Shock. And Mulder is sitting across from Scully, who's at her desk, and she's looking at one of the implants. From Dwayne Barry in a tiny glass vial. She says it's going to be a piece of shrapnel. Dwayne Barry did do a tour of duty in Vietnam. And Fox says it was right where he said it would be, Scully, along with ones in his gums and his sinuses. Scully asks, "And you think this is what is implanted?" And Fox is like, "Well, if it was, it would mean Dwayne Barry is telling the truth." Scully then says, "Or some version of the truth." She says, "I'll take this down to ballistics. We can have this cleared up in a second." And then Fox leaves. And I've left a note saying, no, don't do it, Scully. Go home with your boyfriend. Don't leave him alone. So again, over our headquarters, Washington, D.C.
This just proves if Scully had just fucked Mulder, then she would have got abducted and everything would have been okay.
Exactly.
See what happens when you're all fucking, what's the word? No, like abstinent, like fucking Chris Carter. He's like, oh, not sex. My characters can't have sex. Well, if they did, this wouldn't happen.
Yep. Facts.
Save yourself an abduction. Ride a spooky bitch.
You bitch. There we go. Quote of the episode. Okay, so we're still at the headquarters, and the ballistics expert is looking at the implant under a microscope. He makes some adjustments, and then he and Scully look at it on the computer screen. It says it could be a shell casing or a small artillery fragment. The edges are dull, but it could have been white hot when it entered the body. Scully says that makes sense, or that would make sense. And the expert pushes a button that zooms in on a portion of it, and he points out some markings with his pen. And Scully's like, oh, it looks like some kind of stamp. And the expert says it looks like it's been tooled or etched. Pretty fine work, too. The square we're looking at is only 10 microns across. Strange. And Scully's just like staring at the screen, like, oh, I'm sure what's going on. So we then cut to the shop. Scully's at a checkout, and she looks strangely focused on the barcode scanner.
I don't feel like call that shops in America though. The grocery store or something? A store. Shops.
Or a supermarket. They call it supermarket?
Yeah, mini mart. Looks pretty small.
I don't know.
Anyway, this is not how barcode scanners work, I'm pretty sure. But it's cool, it's a Rolex.
Yeah. So the cashier like tells the price of all the stuff. And
$11.14 for all that stuff. Take me to 1993. Yeah. And this bitch still pays by check. Yeah. I'm like, you don't have $11.14 on you? Like, what the fuck, Scully? I don't know why, but it's such an ick to me that she then pays by check. First of all, who's paying by check at the fucking, what do they call it, the groceries or whatever? Like, you surely have cash on you.
Aye.
Like, these were the days of cash. Cash was king back then.
Yeah.
Why don't you have $11 on you?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Scully. Anyway, sorry, cut you off.
Yeah, that's all right. A check, pay for $11. Also, as the cashier packs up her stuff, I'd be like, bitch, do it yourself.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scully, bye. Packing up your shopping, do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's always weird to me. It's like when they have like the charity things, like the kids do the charity things, and like Asda or Tesco, and like, oh, we'll pack up your shopping. I'm like, no, I'll. Like, it's fine, don't trouble yourself with it. I was like, it's my shit, I'll pack it up, it's fine.
Ah, but then you can't give them money if it's not done in it. You don't work for that. So, I've not seen that in years.
I think it stopped for COVID. Because obviously like, we can't touch each other's stuff. And I don't think it's ever come back. But I would just be like, no, it's fine, but I'll give you the money anyway. Like, it's okay.
My mom used to be like, she'd give them the money, but she's like, no, I'll do it myself because she's got like her little set way of packing. And she was like, never fucking do it right. Especially because it used to always be like kids helping out for like their football team or their whatever it was, like the little group. And she was like, no, I'll give you some money, but don't touch my shit.
So the cashier leaves with her till, and Scully, little scamp, she scans the implant over the barcode, and it starts fucking freaking out. And the cashier walks back, and she's like, what happened? Did you touch something? And Scully's just like, oh, I don't know, gotta go, bye. So things are going crazy, and Scully just grabs her stuff and leaves. But if I was that cashier, I would just be like, it's not a problem. I've already walked away with my till. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
I'll just turn it off and back on again. I'm like, not dealing with it. Back to Jefferson Memorial Hospital. Dwayne Barry is comatose and a camera pans around the room, the machines, and over Dwayne Barry's face. He is shaken awake, quite violently, I think. And a white light appears and hands appear around the curtain in the hospital room, and it looks like, or clearly, aliens behind it.
It's don't like
freaky.
It.
Yeah. So he freaks out and jumps out of bed, unhooking himself from the machines. And this is the way we get like the good, iconic, like Mark Snow music. It's like that little plucking sound that is just like the X-Files. It's so good. So Dwayne is looking out the door of the hospital room, and he sees a policeman on the phone. Basically, whacks him with that. He's like, return runs. And he escapes. Children.
Also, that plucking sign, I believe that's called pizzicato, is it not?
Yeah. Oh, okay. That rings a ring a bell.
Is it? It's been a long time since I studied music, but.
So, cut to Mulder's apartment. And thunder. We hear thunder outside. The phone rings, and the answer machine picks
thunder.
Up.
Thunder.
So, Fox on the machine says, hello, this is Fox Mulder. Leave a message, please. And be. Scully, who's walking around her apartment in the pitch black, like a weirdo. I don't know what Marty was thinking there, like, let her light her apartment.
Fucking Marty at the drunken miss again.
Yeah.
And also, Fox never answers his fucking phone when you need him to.
No. It's fucking useless.
Ever.
Yeah.
So useless.
And like, he has a mobile phone, so why wouldn't you just phone him on that?
I feel like it was less, like, people wouldn't do that so much. Oh, my laptop's about to die.
I get forget it all the time.
Yeah. So fucking use your mobile.
He's useless. So is Mari for the lighting department. But Scully, with the iconic Mulder, it's me, says he just has something incredibly strange happen. This piece of metal that they took out of Dwayne Barry, it has some kind of code on it. So we cut back to Fox's apartment where the machine is recording, and she says that she ran it through a scanner and some kind of serial number came up. Then we cut back to Scully, and she's like, what the hell is this thing, Mulder? It's almost as if somebody was using to catalogue him. She hears a bump outside her window and some rustling, and lightning shines through the window. And let me tell you, she's a braver woman than me, because if I heard a bump outside my window, I'd be like, fuck that.
Never in my life. Like, see, as soon as it gets dark, I always close my curtains. And I remember my mom used to be like, yeah. Why? And I was like, because I don't want to see someone in the dark looking into the window. And I remember one time, I was like, close those curtains. She was like, no. And I was like, close the fucking curtains. I was like, I don't like looking into the dark. And then as she went to close them, my brother had just went outside with his friend, and he had obviously forgot something. So he came to the window to say, as she was going to close them, and she screamed beginning. And I was like, and that's why you fucking close the curtains when it's dark outside.
Yeah. Because
it's exactly. Scary.
It is. So, yeah, she's crazy. I would not be going out to that fucking window. I'd be like, nope.
I also just remembered, so when we used to have to drive Sam to his dad's house, and it was like all country roads we went on, so it was like pitch black, all like woods at the side and that, and I remember they were doing roadworks, so there was these little traffic lights in the middle of fucking nowhere, road, woods at the side, and Sam was in the front seat, and Sammy was like, lock your door, Sam. Because we were waiting at these red lights, and he was like, why? Because he's a little kid being mini. And she was like, just lock your door, Sam. And he's like, why? And then she was like, fucking lock your door, lock your door. Like, pretend someone's gone towards the car. And he's like, quickly lock it. And he's like, why? And she's like, that's why. Lock your fucking door when I tell you. She was like, we're stopped at a red light in the middle of nowhere. Anyone could come. When I tell you to lock the door, lock the door. And it was really just so good. So I was like, lesson learned.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. So yeah, Scully walks over and she goes over the phone and like turns the blinds, and Dwayne Barry is just peering at her like a wee freak. He looks like such a fucking wee freak here.
He honestly so skinny. I would have screamed so loud. I would have been like a banshee. Ran. Those window panes would have broke.
Yeah, I would have turned and ran. And said, fuck you, I'm out. Peace out, bitch. That's like that gift for the game.
I would have just died on the spot. I would have just expired.
Expired. Yep.
I'm not even dealing with that.
I'd just be like, peace. Have I sent you that gift of the dude? And it's just like, peace, and he just disappears. Hold on. Because this perfectly describes what I would do. Just expire on the spot, just disappear. There we go.
Oh, dear.
Brilliant. So yeah, Dwayne Barry is looking like a fucking freak. I'm just standing there like a little raccoon looking in the window. So Scully's like, so we to Fox's apartment where the answer machine starts screaming of Scully and like glass breaking. It's obviously like a struggle. And you're Dwayne Barry just be like, come on, lady. And oh my god, oh, Scully,
what does Scully say? Yeah. Punch me in the face.
Yeah. Oh, me in the mouth. I'm gonna gnaw off my own arm. Yeah. She's just like screaming for him. And then she's like, all right, peace out, guys. I'm gonna have a bin. See you later.
Yeah.
Maternity leave, here I come. But she doesn't even get that, does she?
No.
She's back like a day after the other kid. So yeah, that is Dwayne Barry.
Okay, where are we ranking this one?
I do like this one. I do like it.
I feel like it'd be host then Dwayne, or would we go Dwayne Barry before host?
Oh, that's a good question, because I was thinking I would put Dwayne Barry after the host, but I think it's on.
Yeah, I think so too. There's not enough Mulder and Scully in it.
No, yeah.
Although it's good for setting shit up, then apart from that, it's not.
Yeah.
What
are you trying to say?
I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just starting like Mulder.
I'll definitely put Dwayne Barry after the host.
Yeah.
And then...
would we go Little Green Men after that?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've changed this from the last time we recorded, but listen, it's been a month and a bit.
Yeah.
Little Green Men. Then we'd probably go Blood Sleepless.
Blood Sleepless, yeah. Because after the amount of time it's taken to record Sleepless, I now despise that episode.
Yeah. Doesn't matter if that was the best episode ever. We fucking hate it. It wasn't, but I'm just saying, if it had been.
Yeah.
So our season two list so far goes Host, Twain Barry, Little Green Men, Blood and Sleepless. So, Emma,
right.
Do you want to do the fans are out there?
Yeah. So.
We don't have that many because we put it out late again.
Yeah.
We will get better at this at some point. I know I keep saying that, but...
Well, I'm going to start setting reminders on my phone.
Yeah.
So, the X-Files chat room podcast says, absolutely love this episode. CCH Pounder is a legend and her character is fantastic. 100% agree. McCathy G says, watched this recently and realised that the red Speedo scene takes me by surprise every time. I think of Dwayne Barry as the episode of the hostage negotiation, as Scully's abduction, and then bam, there's Mulder and
Mulder's cock
nearly all together. And she's like, no, I'm complaining or anything.
Yeah. Definitely not. Cappy G. Legend.
But that's an exact good point, because we've had this conversation, I think, three times about the Red Speedo scene. I'm like, what episode is that in? And I'm sure we watched it like twice together, and both times I completely missed it.
Like, to be fair, we were eating dinner and talking, so we weren't really watching it. We were.
No. It was twice I've watched it, and I watched it myself. But again, I completely missed it. I must have just nipped out the room because I wasn't doing the first half of it.
What? Criminal.
But I missed it.
You could hear it. You could hear his penis. Right, as you are taking a drink again.
Stop doing that. Fuck you. Oh, that was funny. Save that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Oh, composed. PGS Post says, for me, this is a game changer in two ways. One, it moved the show from an hourly procedural to an ongoing mythology arc, which helped shape today long-form television storytelling. And two, it explored the sci-fi trope of, I know that sounds crazy, but in a really unique way. And the X-Files initially relied heavily on season one on the misdiagnosed as crazy or fear of being thought of as crazy. In Dwayne Barry, the genius is he's so clearly impacted by something affecting his mental health, and that it turns out to be the trauma of experiencing abductions.
Yeah.
And Cathy G says, I love how you give such a thoughtful answer. The thoughtful, intelligent answer. I'm just like, look, Bob! And then VGS Post says, oh, it's a podcast, we'll talk about the video scene without prompting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if instead of Krycek, it was Scully in that scene? That scene would have ended completely differently. There's no way Scully would have seen the full outline of this man's penis and not just completely just jumped on it right away.
Yeah.
They would have forgot about the hostages. They would have forgot about Dwayne Barry. There would have been no abduction.
Yep. They would have just jumped each other.
It's home. Still wild to me that this aired on TV in the 90s. This guy is like a second away from being fully erect, and they were like, yeah, let's put this on screen.
Yeah, it's on telly.
It's crazy. It's
fucking insane. But yeah, Chris Carter was obviously like, bam, we've got a guy.
Yeah, he was like, I know how to get reins. To be fair, actually, Chris Carter wanted them to wear swimming shorts, like the board shorts.
Yeah.
And David Duchovny was like, no, listen, I've got a massive cock. I want this on screen. No one will be asking circumcised or uncircumcised from this point on. Everyone will know.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Did we have any more?
We had one more from SPN Script Hunt, and they have linked a tweet of their own, which has... Let me just read it. Say, happy X-Files Day. Here's a few items in my collection that I thought were cool enough finds to buy, and for those at FileFest, might be relevant for Q&A with the writers of the episodes. If you'd like to read an early draft of Dwayne Garry, and there's supposed to be a link of a Dropbox file. Of
Dwayne Garry?
Yeah. So it says Dwayne Garry, then Garry scored out, and it's now Ross. Can you imagine if your name was Dwayne Ross?
Dwayne
Barry's snappy. It rolls off the tongue.
Dwayne Barry.
Call it. You're calling Dwayne Ross a liar now? That they've got a whole thread, quite a lot of tweets of X-Files scripts. I assume just linked to a Dropbox files where you could go have a wee look at them. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that is all we have.
That is all we have.
For Dwayne Gary.
So, I was just thinking, and you might disagree to this because I don't know what your plans are, but I was thinking if our listeners send in a bunch of their own spooky stories for our Do You Think I'm Spooky segment, instead of a segment, we could do a whole Halloween episode of just spooky stories.
Yeah.
Because our next episode isn't due until the 5th of November, but we could release one next Sunday or on Halloween itself, which will be Tuesday, won't it?
Oh, yeah.
Of spooky stories if people send them in. So if you want a spooky story episode, a whole episode of just Do You Think I'm Spooky, then you need to send in your spooky stories. It can be your spooky stories, you can get other people to write them down and send them in or get them to tell you and you can summarize it or whatever. But yeah, if you send in your own spooky stories, we will do a special Halloween episode just dedicated to spooky stories. If not, we'll be back on the 5th of November with Ascension. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah.